gotta get up.
Welcome to our Education on Rape Culture documentary. I'm Alex.
And I'm Alexis.
Before we start, we'd like to warn our audience that there will be talk of rape and sexual content.
We live in a society that often teaches don't get raped rather than don't rape. The song you just heard, Blurred Lines, is a song we played in order to display the sexualization of women in the media and condoning of rape culture.
Rape culture is a term that was pinpointed by women in the United States in the 1970s to emphasize how male sexual violence is normalized, and society blames victims for their abuse. It is described as a complex set of beliefs that leads to individuals thinking that sexual violence against women is the usual. In feminism, rape culture is a concept that links rape and sexual violence to the culture of a society, and in which prevalent attitudes normalize, excuse, tolerate, and even condone rape. Behaviors commonly associated with rape culture are victim blaming, sexual objectification, and trivializing rape in regards to sexual remarks, touching, or rape itself. Although it is mainly aimed towards women, the term has evolved, however, to recognize how sexual violence stems from both genders and not only towards women by men.
Here now we have a list of statistics surrounding rape culture. For example, 80% of sexual assault victims are under 30. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted, and 60% of sexual assaults are unreported. 97% of rapists will never spend a day in jail. And if that all didn't surprise you enough, the number of states in which a rapist can sue for custody and visitation is 31.
It was reported that many victims of sexual assault do not report it to family, school, officials, or police. Researchers at Marquette University analyzed forensic interviews with 100 young people between the ages of 3 and 17, many of whom spoke openly about their daily experiences of sexual violence and harassment.
According to researcher Heather Hlavka, the reason for this was because many of the victims saw it as a normal, everyday thing. According to a release on the report, this stems from the belief that men can't help it and the fear of being called offensive sexualized words. It was also found that the lack of reporting may be linked to a lack of trust in authority figures, as many of the victims found that their environment was very male-dominated. Another reason was that it was found that other women don't support victims in cases of sexual assault reports, and the victims were afraid that the report would not be taken seriously. Please take the time to analyze the following songs, Rod Stewart with Maggie May and The Knack with My Sharona, as they both represent the sexualization of women in the media.
Didn't wanna be alone. You stole my
There are many subliminal factors in today's society that reinforce rape culture, some of which include school dress codes, universities avoiding the use of the word rape to protect the assaulter, pornography, and gender roles in general. Mary Ann Layden, PhD director of the Sexual Trauma and Psychopathology Program in the Department of Psychiatry at the University of Pennsylvania, writes a fascinating paper entitled Pornography and Violence, A New Look at Research. Part of her paper read the following. For many reasons, as we shall see, pornography is a very effective teacher of beliefs and behaviors, and one that also teaches its users that the behaviors are acceptable and stimulates them to do so.
Males who viewed sexual violence obtained higher scores, both on scales measuring acceptance of interpersonal violence and the rape myth, the belief that women actually enjoy rape and suffer few negative consequences, when compared to males who view either a physically violent or neutral film. The increase in attitudes supporting sexual violence following exposure to pornography is greater if the pornography is violent than if it is nonviolent. A similar effect is seen even when the pornography is not violent. Males who are shown nonviolent scenes that sexually objectified and degraded women and were then exposed to materials that depicted rape indicated that the rape victim experienced pleasure and got what she wanted. Even women who were exposed to pornography as a child have a greater acceptance of the rape myth than those who were not. Those exposed to pornography recommended a sentence for a rapist that was half of that recommended by those who had been shown non-pornographic imagery. These subjects appear to have trivialized the crime of rape.
Another study, as cited by the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard Law School, read the following. Clinical and experimental research has focused particularly on sexually violent material, and the conclusions have been virtually unanimous. In both clinical and experimental settings, exposure to sexually violent materials has indicated an increase in the likelihood of aggression. More specifically, the research shows a causal relationship between exposure to material of this type and aggressive behavior towards women. The evidence also strongly supports the conclusion that substantial exposure to violent sexually explicit material leads to a greater acceptance of the rape myth in its broader sense, that women enjoy being coerced into sexual activity, that they enjoy being physically hurt in sexual context, and that as a result, a man who forces himself on a woman sexually is in fact merely acceding to the real wishes of the woman, regardless of the extent to which she seems to be resisting. Next, we're going to outline the problem with school dress codes and female students being told not to wear shorts or tank tops. This promotes the modesty doctrine, the belief that women need to cover up their skin to prevent men from being attracted to them. This is different from dressing conservatively.
Beyond implying that men can't control themselves and women are only to be looked at, dress codes seem to pose another problem, defining what an appropriate body is. As many students in a Times article implied, many of them met the dress code but were still being told they were dressed inappropriately because of how they looked on them. This continues the thought that women who expose their body ought to be available for sex, and when she refuses, it's false advertising or she is defrauding a man. The modesty doctrine revolves around the assumption that a man has a right to have sex with every woman he finds attractive. Likewise, the entire idea of male sexuality is written out. Men are not allowed to see themselves as sexual or as objects of desire.
The modesty doctrine expands on the belief that once a woman has been touched by a man, she is no longer valuable. Sex education within North America often focuses on how to have teenage girls keep their virginity or keep her pure, rather than how to protect themselves when they do have sex. This is where the misogynistic phrases, a key that opens many locks is valuable, but a lock opened by many keys is useless, and hot dog down a hallway originate from. This set of beliefs is visible when women are considered less attractive once they have children.
The idea that women need to make themselves look good for men and nothing else stems from many subtle messages thrown towards society. We can see this plainly when often men see it valuable to expand their thoughts on women's personal choices of clothing, makeup, hairstyles, to anyone who will listen, in effect, women shouldn't wear blank because it's unattractive. This shows that it's thought that the way women dress is solely to please the eyes of men and not to please themselves and be happy with their own bodies.
These gender roles are often thrown at women all throughout their lives, starting with toys for girls having to be pink and toys for boys blue, all the way to Disney movies and magazines. The sexualization of women in the media continues further with popular music and society. Songs often feature lyrics that degrade women, mainly sexually, and imply that they are only valuable for sex and are always completely willing to have sex, regardless of whether or not they explicitly consent to it. A good example of this kind of music would be Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke, which was featured at the beginning of our show to display the problem.
Magazines for women range from young girls to mature women, with Cosmo and Seventeen being two main contributors. When girls see pictures of women who have been massively edited to look perfect and headlines like what men want and how to give it to them, it enforces the idea that women must change herself, i.e. her behavior, her looks, and her personality, to suit the needs of a man, mainly sexually. Please take the time to analyze the following songs, Grease with Summer Nights, Sarah McLachlan with Possession, and CeeLo Green with Baby It's Cold Outside, as they all represent underlying rape culture.
Yeah, that was nothing.
Sure, nothing, Zuko, right?
Come on, Danny. You got her drawers, right?
Yeah. Come on. Tell us about that girl.
What'd you do this summer, Sandy?
Oh, I spent most of it at the beach. I met a boy there.
All your cookies all the way to the beach for some guy?
Well, he was sort of special.
There ain't no such thing.
It's really romantic.
Come on,
you don't want to hear all the horny details.
Are you kidding me?
All right, I'll tell you.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving happened so fast.
I met a girl crazy for me.
Met a boy cute as can be.
Summer days drifting away to another summer.
Thank you.
Caps It's cold out there.
The welcome has been.
How lucky that you dropped
so
in.
Nice and warm.
Well, look out that window. Storm.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Leaves upon a tropical shore.
My maiden's mind is vicious.
Gosh, your lips look delicious.
Well, maybe just a cigarette.
Oh, never such a blizzard. Up to your knees out there.
You've really been grand.
I thrill when you touch my hand.
You see?
How could you do this thing to me?
There's room to be tall tomorrow.
Welcome back to our education documentary on rape culture. Women are particularly sexualized in ads for most things. It's widely thought and outwardly expressed that if a half-naked woman is standing next to a product, the product will sell more.
The idea that women are vulnerable to men stems mostly from the media, with how they're portrayed mainly in movies, music, and television. Often in television, female characters are poorly written and don't get enough time spent on their character development. They're frequently used for portraying simplistic, stereotypical roles, such as wives or damsels in distress. Frequently, they are portrayed as one of two stereotypes, either a strung-up, single businesswoman or a stay-at-home mom with no in-between or crossover. The fact that the vast majority of superhero movies revolve around male protagonists raised to the level of a god rescuing the weak, poorly written, and vague damsel in distress enforces the idea that women are in need of a man to save them to lead a happy, safe, and successful life. When a superhero movie does feature a female protagonist, she is often sexualized in the fashion that her costume is revealing and too tight, and the camera angles and scripted shots often focus on her chest or upper skirt. And these female protagonists never save a man in distress. Often stories that revolve around a woman involve a love triangle in which the woman must choose the man that would best suit her needs, further enforcing the idea of a need for a man.
Another problem in today's society is the way the word rape gets thrown around. Many use it as a synonym for beating an opponent. They often use it to convey humiliation, which should really scare you. The issue with this is that it's used to up the masculinity and powerfulness of the speaker, first, because threatening rape is inherently masculinizing, and second, because being ostentatiously not sensitive to the word rape is also masculine. In many universities, many reported rapes go unnoticed and uncharged because the school deems it not serious enough or a threat to the assaulter's education. Questions about sexual consent are rarely addressed by institutions of higher education. While some universities warn women to be safe, few take the time to educate men on a woman's right to consent. At Cambridge University, swaps are a well-known social event. These dinners bear environments and sexualize themes that encourage women to drink heavily and become more vulnerable and to dress provocatively. This is part of a rape culture which leads women to be seen primarily as objects for sexual satisfaction. It's part of a wider culture that teaches girls to be sexual in accordance to men's desires but shames them if they explore their own sexuality.
2 years ago, two high school football players publicly and repeatedly sexually assaulted a girl who was under the influence of alcohol and unconscious and documented their acts onto social media. The two boys were convicted in juvenile court for the rape of a minor. However, the event raised controversy in the media on the subject of rape and rape culture, particularly when CNN reported the conviction by grieving for the destruction of the boys' promising futures and not for how the victim was affected. The scariest part about rape culture is that most attitudes are not malicious, but simply ignorant and misguided.
In August 2012, former Rep. Todd Akin, a longtime anti-abortion activist, was asked about rape by a news source and made the following statement. First of all, from what I understand from doctors, pregnancy from rape is really rare. If it's a legitimate rape, the female body has ways to try to shut that whole thing down. The number of women who are unwillingly impregnated by rape every year in the United States alone is 32,000. The chances that a woman's body will shut down is 0 in 3.2 billion.
Akin's comments almost immediately led to uproar. The term legitimate rape was assumed to imply that some types of rape are legitimate, or alternatively that rape victims who become pregnant are likely to be lying. He later went on to say, but let's assume that maybe that didn't work or something. I think there should be some punishment, but the punishment ought to be on the rapist and not attacking the child. This comment showed that he had no thoughts regarding whether the woman was willing to have her body used for pregnancy, which she did not even consent to sex in the first place. He took no regard to the fact that the woman would have to sacrifice her body for something that she never wanted in the first place.
Recently, a controversial scene on the hit television show Game of Thrones led to an uproar among fans. The scene was described by the author of the books as disturbing to begin with, but the show took it to a new level. The scene is between two characters whose son had just passed away. In his mourning, the man would like to make love to the woman, and in the book, the woman shares his desires, but is reluctant at first as she feels it is not right, but eventually says yes. She consents.
Recently, a Texas judge used the words, "she wasn't the victim she claimed to be," to justify a light sentence she gave to a man who raped a 14-year-old girl. The judge gave the 18-year-old man a sentence of only 45 days in jail with 5 years probation because the girl had previously had 3 sexual partners and given birth. The man was also sentenced to 200 hours of volunteer work in a rape crisis center, a situation that has raised a lot of controversy. They showed a lack of judgment because the judge decided the sentence based on the girl's sexual history rather than focusing on the fact that the girl was raped regardless. There was also concern as to why the man should be volunteering in a rape crisis center when his crime was the reason the victims were there and would only make them feel more distress. The mother of the victim said she thinks that the light terms were because the judge did not want to ruin the man's life, but the fact that her daughter's life was ruined was not considered. Please enjoy the following songs: Propaganda with Refusing of Being a Man and the 1975 with Girls, as they both represent social justice and satire on the sexualization of women in the media.
Been
Welcome back to our Education on Rape Culture documentary. We are now going to talk about the friend zone. The friend zone is a concept made up to attack women for their right to say no. It refers to a platonic relationship where one person has unrequited feelings for the other. This term is super ridiculous because it insinuates that if a man is nice to a woman, that man deserves to have sex with that woman, as if a woman is something you can earn, just for being a decent human being and a quote-unquote friend. If someone believes that they deserve to have sex with someone for simply being nice to them, they probably aren't very nice anyways. It's also a way to place men as the victim and to shame women for saying no. The friend zone is a concept of entitlement and a very clear product of the patriarchal society we live in. Studies showed that men were more likely to claim to be friend-zoned because women were taught to think, oh, it must be something wrong with me, rather than, you know, blaming the other person. It's a concept that should be eliminated because it was only made up to control and shame people.
Although rape culture is still a problem in our society, it has also moved forward in many positive ways. Stephen Boyer designed Kite String, a new service that alerts your contacts if you don't respond to its checkups. Boyer founded the idea for the web-based service when he was trying to find a safer way for his girlfriend to walk home alone at night, and found that every service he stumbled upon required direct input from the user. These services focused on input from the user. Kite String, however, acts on a lack of input from the client. The service will send a message to the user when they're out, and if they don't answer, it will send a message to their emergency contacts with their location. We live in a world where "don't get raped" is echoed in women's ears throughout their whole lives, and while they're well-intentioned, they're still posing the same misguided message that if a woman gets raped, it's somehow her fault for drinking too much, or dressing provocatively, or not saying no enough times. What many fail to realize is that it's solely the perpetrator's fault, and a new campaign out in Montana may finally be bringing that to light.
Make Your Move, Missoula uses degrading lines often repeated by offenders, such as, "I knew she was asking for it," and turns them into choruses of support for their targets. The campaign encourages bystanders to intervene in dangerous situations, something that reportedly happens all too often to women. There are many campaigns worldwide supporting the elimination of rape culture, such as the Slut Walk. The Slut Walk happens in many cities across the world and encourages victims of sexual assault and supporters of victims to walk in support of ending victim blaming.
The Slut Walk became an official thing when in 2011, a representative for Toronto Police gave insight to the force's view of sexual assault with "women should avoid dressing like sluts in order not to be victimized." This comment solidified the myth of the word slut as in a woman who is sexually promiscuous as a bad thing. The aim of the Slut Walk is to take back the meaning of the word and turn it into something positive. A promiscuous woman is not tarnished property that can no longer be used for marriage. A woman embracing her sexuality is a good thing and not something to be looked down upon or seen as an invitation for sexual assault. The Slut Walk is a victim's right and demand to be respected.
VIBS, a Family and Violence and Rape Crisis Center, recently posted an interesting campaign. In response to the many messages telling women how to avoid getting raped, they posted messages telling people how not to rape. Some of the advice was as follows. When you encounter someone who is sound asleep, the safest course of action is to not sexually assault them. Use the buddy system. If it is inconvenient for you to stop yourself from sexually harassing people, ask a trusted friend to accompany you at all times. Carry a rape whistle. If you find that you are about to sexually assault someone, blow the whistle until someone comes to stop you.
There are many resources for assault victims, some of which include Violence Unsilent, RAIN.org, Pandies.org, Male Survivor, 1-in-6, and Souls Speak Out. There is also an online project called Project Unbreakable, which encourages victims of sexual assault to speak out about their assaulters.
Next time you're out and notice any warning signs of a possible sexual assault, step in and help the victim.
Rape culture is the media glazing over sexual violence with softened language to avoid the use of the word rape, such as inappropriate behavior, unwanted sex, and sexual misconduct.
Rape culture is the news sympathizing with two teen rapists stating that their promising futures may be destroyed by a youthful mistake without mentioning how it may affect the victim. Please enjoy this song, "Drunk in Love" by Beyoncé, as it talks of embracing women's sexuality. Thanks for listening. Consent isn't sexy, it's necessary.
I get filthy when that liquor get it to me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Cigars on ice. Feeling like an animal with these cameras all in my grill. Flashing lights, flashing lights.
You got me pity, 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 baby, I want you. Na-na. Can't keep your eyes off my pity, daddy, I want you. Na-na. Drunk in love, I want you. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this happen? Oh, baby. Swerving, swerving on that big body, been serving all this. Swerp, surfing all in this good, good. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this happen? Oh, baby. Drunk in love, we be all night. Last thing I remember is our beautiful bodies grinding off of that club. Drunk in love.
Say so myself, if I do say so myself, if I do say so myself, hold up, stumble all in the house, time to back off all of that mouth that you had all in the car, talking about you the baddest thus far, talking about you be repping that bird, I wanna see all the shit that I heard, no I slink Clint Eastwood, hope you can handle this curve, for plague in a foyer, dub my Warhol, slint your panties right to the side, ain't got the time to take jaws off on sight, catch a charge I might. Box up like Mike, in 97 I bite, I'm Ike, turn up, baby, no, I don't play, now eat the cake, anime, said eat the cake, anime, I'm nice, but y'all reach these heights, you gon' need G3, 4, 5, 6 flights, sleep tight, we sex again in the morning, your breakfast is my breakfast, we gon' in, we be all night.
Spilling liquor all on my attire. I've been drinking watermelon.